Hello and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels, right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host of this weekly program where we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now we are in a section we are calling The Ending of Miracles and Jesus' Teaching in Perea. And today we're going to look at the events of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, and the healing of the 10 lepers in Samaria. Now, it is a fact that many people benefited in various ways from the works of Jesus. Yet, many of these never knew him as Lord. For example, many people benefited from Jesus turning the water into wine at the wedding feast, though they never knew him as Savior. Many people benefited when Jesus fed the multitudes with the loaves of bread and fish on two different occasions. Yet many of them never knew him as Savior. Many were blessed by Jesus' healing of the physical body, yet never allowed him to heal their soul. And in our text today in Luke chapter 17, in verses 11 through 19, we find a great example of some of these individuals that, though they benefited physically from Jesus, they did not allow him to heal the soul. Go with me now to Luke 17, and let's read verses 11 through 19. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." There are many people today that are just like 9 of the 10 lepers. They do not desire anything from Christ except to fix their earthly problems. How many people, in a time of great danger or distress or finding themselves in great misery because of their actions, decide to believe and repent of their sinfulness, confess the name of Jesus, be baptized, and begin to live a much different life? their life is changed from what it was, and their troubles seem to have disappeared. Yet, once their troubles have gone away, and their conscience has been eased, soon they disappear, no longer to be seen among the brethren. They are like the 9 lepers, cleansed outwardly, but not healed. But some are like the 1 leper. Notice verse 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. So, let's examine this passage with its many great lessons for us today in this modern age. Let's consider the lesson which the Holy Spirit has given to us from the mind of God. Let's go back now to verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Jesus was headed to Jerusalem, the cross that lay before him. Jesus was going to lay down his life for sinful men, and he would complete the work that he was assigned, to bear our sins on his shoulders as the good shepherd giving his life for his sheep. Jesus would suffer, having the Father turn away from him. He would satisfy the justice demanded by the sins of man to the fullest, until at last he cried, "It is finished." As Jesus was headed to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Jesus was on his way to an appointment with death. His time had come, and the hour was now at hand. Jesus would not turn back from his appointed destiny. Notice John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now notice verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Now verse 16 would later reveal that one of these lepers was a Samaritan. You would recall the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. They would normally have no association with each other. Sometimes misfortune, such as illness, can create relationships that would not normally occur under normal circumstances. Two soldiers in a World War II foxhole would soon forget the differences in the color of their skin or their ethnic background with their lives on the line. When misery can cause men to put away their prejudices, it is a shame that those who claim to know the grace of God often cannot do likewise. we find the 10 lepers gathered together to meet Jesus. These 10 were joined together in their misery. They had apparently heard that Jesus was passing through their region. They had heard of the healings of Jesus, obviously, and they desired to see Jesus in the hopes that Jesus would remove the dreaded leprosy from them. Now, it would do well for us to take a minute to go back and consider the disease of leprosy, for most of us, myself included, have never seen someone with leprosy. But here are some of the common symptoms of a leper that these 10 men probably had. The voice of a leper is hoarse and raspy. They were likely covered with sores and scabs. Their faces become like chunks of burned coal. They are bloated, but yet their skin is hard and cracked and scabbed. Their flesh is literally rotting on their bodies. Their eyes are bloodshot and burning. Their noses would be sunken in because of decaying cartilage. Their tongues turned black and swollen and ulcerated. These men were dying a miserable death together. But what about our leprosy? You see, leprosy is used in the scripture to represent sin. If you picture yourself with the symptoms we just talked about as a leper, that is what we would look like spiritually when separated from God because of sin. Indeed, leprosy is a good comparison to sin in the scriptures. The leper in the Old Testament, upon being pronounced unclean by the priest, would be put out of the camp. Leprosy, much like sin, is a spreading disease, corrupting the whole life of a man until he is altogether destroyed by it. Sin corrupts a man, and it spreads throughout the spiritual body of a man. But let's consider the cleansing of leprosy. As leprosy represents our sin, the cleansing of a leper portrays our cleansing from sin by Jesus Christ. In order for the leper to be ceremonially clean, two birds were taken clean and alive. Both were a type of Christ. One of the birds was killed in an earthen vessel over running water, showing that Christ must be killed. His blood must be shed for the cleansing of leprous sins. The earthen vessel denoted his humanity, in which he was put to death. The running water signified the purifying nature of his blood and the continued virtue of it to cleanse from all sin. The other bird, after it was dipped with the cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop, in the blood of the slain bird was let go alive, typifying the resurrection of Christ and our resurrection with him, declaring redemption accomplished acceptance assured, and sin put away. Verse 13, back in our text, says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." These men knew full well that no mere man had ever healed another of leprosy. But they heard that this man had. So they called upon him, the man who stood before them in human flesh as God, asking him to have mercy upon them. "Jesus," they cried. "Master," they cried, "have mercy on us." Verse 14 says, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Now we need to be sure we don't miss this point. When these lepers begged him to show them mercy, the Lord Jesus said, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." In the Old Testament law, those who thought they might be lepers were required to go show themselves to the priest, so that the priest, the Levites, representing the law, could confirm them that they were indeed lepers. Leviticus 13, verses 2 and 3. Obviously, these men had already been through that procedure. They were already declared to be and identified as lepers. So why then did the Lord Jesus command them to go show themselves to the priest again? We notice why in Leviticus 14, verses 2 and 3. "And there the leper who was clean was required to go show himself to the priest, not to be made clean, but to be pronounced clean." In other words, the Lord Jesus said, "You are clean," and sent them on their way to be ceremonially pronounced clean. These men believed his word, and they headed straight to the priest to be pronounced clean. They were cleansed, but not healed. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So as they started to the priest, they looked upon themselves and realized that they were clean. The leprosy was gone, healed by the mere sovereign will of the sovereign Savior. In verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned his back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, but this foreigner." Why did the other 9 go on to the priest? Why did this one Samaritan stranger return to the Lord Jesus, glorifying God with a loud voice as he fell down at the Savior's feet? The answer should be obvious. The other 9 called the Lord Jesus by his name, God our Savior, and acknowledged him as Master and were cleansed of the leprosy in their bodies. But this man, being both cleansed of his physical leprosy and healed of the leprosy that plagued his heart, came back to worship the Lord Jesus as God and Savior. He was not only cleansed of his leprosy, but he was made whole. And then in verse 19, Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." When the nine were cured of the ailment of their bodies, they had obtained from Jesus all that they wanted. They needed and wanted nothing else. But this Samaritan stranger had experienced something else. He was healed of his leprosy, and grace was poured into his soul. The nine were content to go on just as they had, living under the yoke of bondage and ceremonialism. But this man was forever done with Jewish priests and religious ceremonies and legal sacrifices and the carnal ordinances. He had now came to the Son of God, the author and finisher of his salvation. Countless multitudes, like those nine lepers, even today are being healed only outwardly in their bodies. They never come to know or worship the Son of God. But poor, wretched sinners, those who understand the leprosy of their souls, can be made whole by the Lord Jesus. To all those who believe on the Son of God, Jesus said, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." But this wasn't the only time he muttered similar words. Matthew 9:22, he said to the woman with an issue of blood that touched him, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole." Mark 10:52, blind Bartimaeus was told that his faith had made him whole. In Luke 7:50, Jesus said to the woman who was a sinner, who worshiped him now as her Savior, that her faith had saved her to go in peace. And in Luke 18:42, Jesus, on giving sight to a blind man, said, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved thee." We are saved by the work of God's amazing grace. And nothing else can save us. But we must also understand that there is no salvation without faith, without obedient faith in Christ Jesus. Well, thank you for joining me today. I hope you'll join me next week, if the Lord wills, as we continue to study the life of Christ in the gospel accounts. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.